in Matthew chapter 10. And we'll read together the whole chapter. Our text specifically is, as we continue where we left off, beginning at verse 32 through 42. So let us hear together God's word from Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, nor, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is worthy, who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. It will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's word this morning, and as we see Jesus sending his disciples out, in the previous sections we looked at the fact that the world is in danger. The world needs a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. We have to understand the danger that the world is in, because Jesus says that it is more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than for the world around us, most of whom have heard of Jesus. And we have to understand that. The world is in danger, but they don't realize it. And yet at that same time, we have to understand as well that we go out into a world that hates us. A world that does not want to hear the gospel. And will try to shut up the gospel as much as they humanly possibly can. Jesus says, verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Don't be surprised when the world doesn't like God's church. Understand that. But whom are we serving? We're serving Almighty God. We heard that in our call to worship. We are, as Jesus says, to be harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. There's references within that. Of course, the serpent was more cunning than any other animal, and the serpent was there to, by the power of the devil, to deceive Adam and Eve. So we need to be just as wise as the devil, but we are called as God's people to be harmless in doing that, not to be evil in doing that. We need to know the ways in which the devil works. We need to be able to answer his wiles. And God gives us those abilities. God gives us those answers within his word. But brothers and sisters, we have to be careful that even as we consider the danger of the world, as we consider the danger that we as human beings and as Christians with the gospel are in, that we don't then live in fear. And that's really what we're looking at this morning, the third part of this. As Jesus sends out his disciples into the world, he sends them with the gospel, with the good news. And we are called not to love this world more than we love the gospel. Jesus sends his disciples to bring the gospel to a world which is going to fight against it. That's the theme that we want to see. And as I said, we're looking specifically at that third point, that we are not to love the world, we are not to fear the world more than we love the good news of Jesus Christ. Now notice, Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. We are called to confess Jesus before men. Verse 34, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We have to understand how important it is to live lives that do not hide that we are Christians. That we need to show by who we are, by the things that we do, that we are purchased with the blood of Christ. That we are those who have been bought with that price. Now, this is one of the reasons that we confess within church week by week. But notice, it doesn't mean, doesn't say just before the church there. Confesses me before men, before the unwashed masses. But they need to see that we are Christians. And one of the dangers that goes on in our culture is that the church hides. The church is called to be salt and light. Now, salt changes things. Light changes things. A little bit of light in a room, even the littlest bit, you can see. Have you ever been in one of those caves when they turn out the lights? And it hurts. We as Christians are called to be light. And the light means that we have an effect on the world. And we as Christians need to have an effect on this world, instead of the world having the effect on us. That we as Christians are those who have been purchased with the blood of Christ. But notice, Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. We often want to gather together with the world, and the political people in the world tell us that they're looking for peace. But there's not going to be peace outside of Christ. There's not going to be true peace. And notice, it doesn't even take world leaders to have different ideas. It can be as small as our own families. And that's what Jesus says, isn't it? I have come to set a father, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. This happens in our own families. Now, the reason that we should have disagreements is based around the truth of the gospel. It is not just around who and what and how on this earth. Jesus says that in so many words. Verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That we are called to love Christ above all things. Even our own families, even those within whom we have less perhaps competition, those sorts of things, perhaps more sometimes. Those who are the closest to us on this earth, that we are called to love Christ more. Many, many families have been split because of the faith. Don't be afraid of that. Hold on to Christ. God gives us a family in the church, and that's one of the things that we need to be working as a church to be, is those who are single, those who want family, but have not been blessed with it externally. We are called to be their family, to love them as family. When we start talking about a world in which there are those who are coming out of homosexuality and things, some of them struggle with family. And we're called to love them and to be their family as God's people. And too often we struggle deeply with that. But we're called to be the family, the body of Christ, closer even than a family. And so instead of spending our time arguing and fighting with one another so much, we're called as God's people to love one another. We talked about that looking at the catechism this morning. But Jesus says, realize. Again, do not be surprised. Do not be afraid when a man's enemies are going to be those of his own household. There's going to be fights over the truth of the gospel within families. What we need to do most is to hold fast to God's word, which is more firm than anything on this world. And to take up your cross. Now, nowadays, we think of a cross as something somebody might wear. But a cross for the people at the time of Jesus was a totally different thing. A cross was an instrument of death. They would see people on a regular basis on the top of many of the hills around were being crucified. So for Jesus to say, take up your cross, is a very different thing than it means for you and I. Taking up your cross meant, just as Jesus did, to carry the cross. To be ready to die, not an easy death, but a horrific death for the sake of the gospel. And we are to take up our crosses is to be prepared not only for conflict, but truly for death. We have to realize that if we love people on this earth more than we love God, we're not going to be ready for that. If we love things on this earth more than we love God, we're not going to be ready to do that. That we are giving up on our earthly life for the purpose of the eternal hope, the eternal promise that God has given to us. And God's promises do not fail us. Jesus goes on to say right there, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. If we want to keep our lives, think of the things Jesus says about the guy who was said, I'll follow you, Jesus. I just got to go say goodbye to my family. I've got something I got to do before I follow you, Jesus. If we want to do other things before we follow Jesus, Jesus said, you're not worthy of me. If we think that we will keep our lives here on this earth, then we lose the important things of life. And Jesus says, he who at the same time loses his life, giving up what we have here on this earth, laying it in Jesus' hands, being prepared to die, being prepared for trials, being prepared for conflict, then we're going to find it. We're going to find that which is most important. It's not these things that we so easily struggle for, that we so easily run after on this earth. We'll find that which is best and most important in Jesus. And part of that is living a life that is different from the world. We read here in verse 40, whoever receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. We as Christians need to understand how important it is to receive and to assist those who are God's representatives. Today, the pastorate, the eldership, those who are missionaries, do not receive nearly the honor that they used to. And we as Christians are called to seek to care for those who have been given such offices and to go out as those who have those offices, not just to do it from the pew. He who receives you receives me. Those who receive those who represent Christ receive Christ, and not only that, receives him who sent me, receives God the Father. Going back to the disciples, having been sent out, this is why this is one big pericope in the scripture, going from the beginning of Matthew 10 to the end. Whoever receives them receives Jesus. But also in the church today, those who receive those who are going out with the gospel receive Christ and receive the Father who sent Christ. We talk about a prophet, those who are going out with the Word of God, speaking the Word of God into this world. If we realize the importance of the prophet, if we realize the importance of God's Word and receive those who are speaking God's Word with the importance they deserve, then God says, you're not going to fail to receive that reward. And also who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man. Now, are these people perfect? Is there any person perfect? Of course not. Look throughout history. The only one was Jesus. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that we are called to use hospitality, to be ready to invite people into our houses, to be those who are ready to help people along their way who are seeking to spread the gospel to this world. Whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of water in the name of the disciple. Now, this is a very interesting statement by Jesus. We know that young people, according to the Bible, were somewhat looked down upon in the culture. Also, in the name of a disciple, not in the name of Christ, this is a very low common denominator that Jesus is laying out in front of the disciples and in front of us. He says, if you do that, you will not fail to receive your reward. That God does give to us a reward in heaven. This small thing, in the name of a disciple, giving a cup of water to a child, our faltering, our stammering attempts to bring the gospel to those around us will be rewarded. That God uses it. This is, by the way, one of the reasons that we want to study in adult Sunday school how to bring the gospel to those around us. Not just a cup of water, but the water of life. In the name of Christ, in the name of God the Father, not just in the name of a disciple. That we as Christians seek to bring that good news, that living water, to a world that is so in need. And yes, we're called as well then to think of the little things, to help those who are in need. That's the thing that we see here. It's why Jesus lays it out in such simple terms. That we bring the good news through the things that we do, the ways in which we help people. Not looking down on those our culture, or perhaps we have a propensity to look down upon, but assisting, caring, bringing the truth to people who need it. And brothers and sisters, going back to the beginning, we know that the world isn't going to like it. The world's going to fight against it. But greater is He who is with us than he who is in the world. And we are called to love God. Love God's good news more than we love the things of this world. And that we love in actions, not just in what we say, but in what we do. Loving and caring for those who need Christ. And yes, if all we can stammer to do is to bring a cup of water to someone who needs it, to a little child in the name of a disciple, Jesus says you're not going to lose your reward. So what are we doing with the gospel? God has given us immensely, and God has sent us out into the world with the good news of Jesus. What are we doing? Great, I got my fire insurance. I'm saved. Or how are we living it? Are we confessing Christ before the world? Are we hiding it? Are we those whom the world is going to fight against? Or don't they even know that we're Christians? As an old question that I heard a number of times growing up, If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And so, brothers and sisters, we need to realize the world needs the gospel. Despite their desires to the other end, the world needs the gospel. And God has given it to us. And we are to use the means God has given us to bring that gospel to this world. And if the best we can do is in the name of a disciple bringing a cup of water, God is pleased. And we seek to go far and beyond that. But if that's all we get done, God will bless it. God will use it. How awesome is our God. Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we look at the world around us, help us to see what you see, the brokenness, the sinfulness, the need. And help us, Lord, to have compassion on this world, to love them, to love even our enemies with the truth of your gospel. And help us, Lord, not then to be frightened by a world which will not love us for the gospel. And help us to realize that your word is more true than what the world tells us they want and need. Help us, Lord, to bring that gospel to the world. Help us to love the world in truth instead of to love it from an external perspective. To fear to get into those conversations and those arguments, but rather looking to your hand for the truth, to speak through us your gospel. And at that same time, as there will be arguments, help us, Lord, to be those who show your love, who show your truth, and how we act toward those even we argue with. That we would not be those who are, as the Apostle Paul says, sounding brass and clanging cymbals, but that we would speak your truth in love. Give us wisdom, Lord. We pray, help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. For Lord, we would so easily desire to be harmful as serpents and weak as doves. Help us, Lord, to stand upon your gospel in a world that needs it, and to love this world with your gospel in truth. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.